Continuing in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We begin with verse 6 of chapter 4. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. Paul is using satire in this Corinthian epistle a great deal. At times, he's very sarcastic. He's writing about divisions in the church. The church of Corinth was split into several divisions, and each division was headed by some man in the church. Now you recall in the second chapter, Paul said, some of you are followers of Apollos, and some of Cephas, and some of you followers of me. Well, now here Paul tells us that he uses those names, Apollos and his name. The name of Cephas is implied, rather than the names of the real parties. He keeps the names of the real parties that are causing the divisions, and doesn't reveal it. Now look at what he says in that verse 6 again. These things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes. Now, I've done this for your sakes in order, first of all, that you might not know to whom I'm referring, and also that I wouldn't specially embarrass the ones that are involved. So many people love to deal in personalities. They love to bandy names about. I have had a few people come to me in days gone by and say, did you hear about such and such a thing taking place? I said, well, yes, much to my regret, I have. I said, well, who were the principals involved? And I'd say, well, I can't tell you. And then you know what they'd say? If you tell us, we could pray more intelligently. As if God didn't know already. Without them having to tell the Lord who it was. But he said, I'm using the name of Apollos myself, and Cephas by implication. I'm using these names to make known to you about these divisions. These divisions were caused by men who claim to have special revelations from the Lord, claim to have insight into the will of God that the others didn't have, and would draw people out of the church and away from the church into their own little clique. Now, these men were very carnal, very worldly. Now, as I said last Sunday, they're saved. They're in Christ. The relationship is established once and for all. But their fellowship can be called into question from time to time. And as we go through these verses down to chapter 5, you'll find the Apostle Paul speaking very kindly on occasion and very sternly on occasion in these few verses. Needless to say, Paul had a rough time. Paul was accused of preaching for money. Paul was accused of extreme covetousness, vanity, egotism. In fact, Paul was accused of about everything of which a man could be accused. And because of the sternness with which he writes to the Corinthians, they seem to be the instigators of more gossip about Paul than any other group. Now, as he discusses these men who occasioned divisions in the church, he asked them this question, verse 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? If you have an insight into the Word of God that another doesn't have, who gave you that insight? And how came him to give it to you and not to another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? If you have any knowledge of the Word of God, whatever, it's because God Almighty gave it to you. It's not because of any depth of knowledge you have. It's not because you're brighter, you're smarter, you're more intelligent, better at research, better in meditation, better in prayer than anybody else. It's been given to you. Now, if thou didst receive it, the implication as a gift, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? If you receive this as a gift from God, why are you boasting and bragging as if you acquired it yourself? Stern words. Now, you're full. This verse reads a little like the letter to the church at Laodicea. In fact, this verse revealed unto us that they took upon themselves the same characteristics as the church in Laodicea. Now you're full, which means you have need of nothing. We're rich, says the church of Laodicea. They say, we're rich. You're full, you need nothing, you're rich, and you are reigning as kings. And Apollos and I are not reigning with you as kings. There's something wrong. He says here, I would to God that you did reign, that we also might reign with you. I wish you were reigning. I wish the millennium was come. I wish we were ruling and reigning with the Lord, and I'd be reigning and ruling with you. But you're lording it over everybody. In your egotism, imagining yourselves to be greater in the grasp of the knowledge of the Word and will of God than anybody else. You have need of nothing. You don't need the Lord. You don't call upon the Lord. Now Paul speaks a little kindly and explains his position to this group in Corinth. Before we go to that, look at the 21st verse of this chapter. And as Paul concludes this chapter, he said, now what do you want? What do you will? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Now I'm coming to see you, but do you want to continue as you are? Now I'll have to come to you with a rod, in rebukes, chastisements, or will you make things right with the Lord, and I can come to you in the spirit of love and of meekness? So you see what lies ahead of us now in this chapter. So in verse 9, I think that God had set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed, to death. We've had prophets in the Old Testament, and we've had the priest, and we've had the kings of God and his theocracy. We've had the scribes. We've had all kinds of men sent by God to make known the way, the word, and the will of God. And those of us who are apostles are the last ones that God has sent forth. We're the last ones. And we've been sent forth to die as martyrs. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Paul was beaten. Paul was cursed. Paul was reviled. Paul was imprisoned. Paul was hated and despised. Chased from one town to another as he preached the gospel. He was a spectacle to the whole world, to angels, and to men. I told you of the story I read in one of Dr. Biederwolf's books some time back, in which he told of the Monday morning ministerial meeting, and as the ministers had gathered, manifesting the fact, as recorded here concerning the Corinthians, that they were full, had plenty, had need of nothing, well groomed, etc. A man came in rags and tatters, bruised, blood on his face, hair disheveled. He came to the front. He said, "Where did you fellows preach yesterday?" They looked and finally identified him as the Apostle Paul. In the day that Paul preached, every place he preached, there was a revival or a revolution. He was a spectacle. Physically, Paul was a spectacle. He had some kind of eye trouble. He said in one of his epistles, as he addressed the church in a particular city, "When I appeared before you, you turned your faces away from me. His looks were repulsive because of his eye condition." But he said, "After I spoke a while, any of you would gladly have given me your eyes." Plucked them out and given them to him, if it were possible. He was a spectacle to the world, to the angels, and to men. We're fools, for Christ's sake. But you're wise in Christ. You claim to know everything. You claim to be everything. And you look on us as fools. And we are fools. For Christ's sake. We're weak, helpless, powerless. But you're strong and you boast of your strength. You're honorable, respected by society. And Apollos and I were despised. Now this is a cutting epistle. And the Apostle Paul is writing that which the Holy Spirit commands him to write. There's no vindictiveness in Paul himself, but he's writing as the Holy Spirit speaks through him to this church at Corinth. When we come to the fifth chapter, you can see how saturated they are with self and how self-satisfied they are with the things the way they are. "Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place." Even as I'm writing this epistle to you, I am hungry. And so is Apollos. And we're thirsty. We haven't enough clothing to cover our bodies. were beaten, whipped, stoned, and we have not where to lay our heads. We have no certain dwelling place. And we labor, working with our own hands. When Paul came to Corinth, he gravitated to the dwelling of Aquila and Priscilla, who were tent makers, and he worked with his own hands in the making of tents to supply bodily needs. Being reviled, we bless. When one would say some reviling statement to Paul or Apollos, they would say, "The Lord bless you." How many Christians would say, "Oh, the same to you, fella." But he said, "The Lord bless you." When we were persecuted, we endured it. Being defamed, Paul was accused of all kinds of immoralities. He was defamed. And when he was defamed, we entreat. We pray for you. We entreat God for you. We are made as the filth of the world. We are looked upon and reckoned to be the dregs of humanity. We are considered the offscouring of all things unto this day. How the early Christians suffered. How the Apostle Paul suffered. No wonder in his valedictory he could say, "Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing." I write not these things to shame you. I'm not writing these things to make you feel bad. I'm not writing these things to bawl you out, so to speak. I'm not writing these things to make you feel ashamed, degraded. I'm writing these things to you as my beloved sons. And I'm writing these things to warn you. These were individuals who had come to know the Lord under Paul's ministry. And Paul called them his sons, as he called Timothy his son in the gospel. That's an interesting expression. In our Wednesday evening services, we've been studying in the Gospel of John. We've been in the 15th chapter, where we've been studying about the fruit of the vine. And we presented the fact that the fruit of the vine is another vine. And the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Well, it's interesting to note that we are called to be priests under God. And as we study the priesthood in the Old Testament, we find that one of the things that disqualified a man for the priesthood was sterility, or the inability to procreate or to beget a child. If for any reason a man could not beget a child, he was barred from the priesthood. And I've often wondered if failure to beget another Christian barred one from the priesthood of believers. Now, Paul called these converted under his ministry by whatever means it was, his sons. And he's writing these at Corinth. These are children of his, spiritually speaking. And you know he loves them. You know he loves them. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. You may have 10,000 different men teaching you the word of God, but you just have one father. And that's the one who showed you the way of life. These in Corinth elevated their instructors in the Word above the Lord God Almighty. They cared not what the Word said. They cared what Brother so-and-so or Doctor so-and-so said. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech ye, be ye followers of me. I've often pondered that statement. I could never say to anybody, be ye followers of me. I would have to qualify my statement, as many another one has. Do not as I do, but as I say. What a man the Apostle Paul was. In another place in Paul's epistle, he says, be ye followers of me as I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I might could say that if you would interpret it, be ye followers of me as long as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I forsake the way of the Lord, you stay with the Lord. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you unto remembrance of the ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Turn for a moment to 2 Timothy. I want you to see what it was Timothy was going to tell them. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou, therefore, my son, Paul addressing this epistle to Timothy, and incidentally, this is the last thing that Paul wrote before his execution. The second epistle to Timothy, the last thing he wrote. And as he was writing this, he knew the time of his execution was at hand. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There was a teaching of the Apostle Paul. He calls it, in this epistle and in this epistle to the church at Rome, he calls it his gospel. There was a gospel, there was a bit of good news propagated by Paul that he called his gospel. And he had taught that to Timothy. He had told Timothy about it. And he said, now, I have sent Timothy to you, my beloved son in the gospel. My beloved son in the gospel. You will receive him as my son. I'm coming to you, the Lord willing. But in the meantime, I'm sending my son, Timothy, to you to tell you some things. And that message, that blessed truth committed by Paul to Timothy was that if a Christian proves faithful unto the Lord God Almighty, he bids fair to rule and to reign with the Lord. I'm sending Timothy to tell you that it makes a difference how you live after you're saved. It's not enough just to be in Christ. We're to live for Him. And I'm sending my beloved son in the gospel, Timothy, to you to tell you these things. And he told Timothy. And he passed that on to Timothy, and he told Timothy to pass it on to faithful men who in turn would pass it on to others. A blessed truth handed down by word of mouth to faithful men who in turn would pass it on to others. Now back to the 17th verse of 1 Corinthians 4. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance. Now, he will remind you of things that I taught you, of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some of you are puffed up as though I would not come to you. Some of you are angry, upset, disturbed because you thought that I refused to come to you because of these things about which I'm writing. But not so. I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills. I'll come to you shortly if the Lord wills. Paul didn't know whether it's to be the will of the Lord or not. As stated many, many times before, the Apostle Paul didn't know the Lord's will many times until the Lord slammed the door shut in his face. Paul's obsession was to take the gospel and turn eastward with it. But every time he turned eastward, the Lord slammed the door in his face. And he kept pressing northward and then tried to turn east, and the Lord would slam the door, and on and on. And finally came the vision in the night, come over into Macedonia and help us. Turn west! Turn west. Had he gone eastward, China, India, Japan might have been the nations Christianized, and United States, America's in darkness like those countries today. But thank God he turned west. Thank God he turned him west. He brought him west. But now, don't be upset, don't be peeved and angry because I haven't come, but if the Lord will, I'm coming shortly. And we'll know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Oh, these fellows whom I've called Apollos and Paul, they're great orators. And they can sway the emotions of the people as an organist, control the keyboard of an organ. I said, I'm not coming to hear these great speakers of whom you're boasting and bragging. I'm coming to see if there's any power there. I'm coming to see if the Holy Spirit is present. I'm coming to see what gives. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now what do you want? Having written this to him, now what do you want? You want me to come with a rod in my hand to chasten you? Or do you want me to come in love, mercy, and tenderness? What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love? Or in the spirit of meekness? One more conceited group of people have need of nothing, don't need the Lord, don't need the Holy Spirit. We've got men through here that can tell you what this means without the Holy Spirit's help. Puffed up, boasting and bragging of their sins. As you get ready for next Sunday evening and study in this fifth chapter, in those first few verses, notice how puffed up they are and over what they are puffed up. Look not to man, nor to men, but to the Lord God Almighty. His Holy Spirit can lead any and all of us into His truth if we look at it. Father, bless this time of fellowship and this meditation to Thine honor and glory. Deliver us, Father, from the sins and the attitudes of those in the church at Corinth. May the Lord Jesus Christ be first in our hearts, in our thoughts, and in our conversations. We ask these things, O Lord, in Christ's name, and for His sake. Amen.